Re19!
Ciao a tutti, nuova puntata di PFN, siamo qui, io sono Salvatore Iopolo, con me Matteo Rubinato. Ciao Matt.
Ciao Sal.
Allora, noi oggi abbiamo un ospite che è in collegamento direttamente dal Lambeau Field. Ci ha appena detto che c'è un piccolo ufficio lì dentro che ha delle dimensioni di una cella, comunque lui è al Lambeau Field. E con noi Wes Hockwitz, giornalista della Green Bay Press Gazette di PackersNews.com. Hi Wes, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you guys for having me, I'm very honored.
So, I've just said what you told us before about the fact that you are actually in Lambeau Field, and of course our listener will hate you for this. So, you were there yesterday for the open practice, the third week of OTAs,
yes.
Right?
Yep. We are we're right in the heart of the off-season program right now. So, yeah, we were able to be here and kind of check out practice. We get one a week. They actually practice three times. They practice again today, but we're only able to see that one. So next week with mini camps, we'll be able to check out a little bit more.
And about this, I mean, OTAs is not real football. Everybody plays in shorts. There's no contact, of course. But were you able to take out some interesting stuff from there? I mean, any interesting points that you can make on how the season will progress now?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing that's really fascinating about this time of the year is that you get a chance to see all the new players that they brought in. You get to see their draft class and how they mesh with the veterans you have coming back. And you get a chance to see, you know, Aaron Rodgers throwing passes to guys that were undrafted free agents, guys that they just signed. I think that's always the most thrilling part, to have a chance to look at those guys, because the thing that's probably different about the Green Bay Packers than a lot of other teams in the NFL, they don't really do outside free agency. They develop their own players, and then they draft them. So this is really, as far as it is in Green Bay, this is as exciting as it gets. So to see, you know, their first-round pick, Demarius Randall, the cornerback, Quentin Rollins, another cornerback out there, to see them for the first time and kind of get a feel for, you know, how these guys are, who they are, and the type of players they can be. I'd say that's probably the most exciting thing, because, like you said, there's no, you know, they're not wearing pads. It's not the big contact practices, but you definitely get a feel for their athleticism and what players these, you know, they could potentially be when, you know, obviously they get the development side of it down.
And we come here to my second question. I had written down some questions for you, and it was about Jeff Janis, of course, and I was going to ask you about his athleticism, actually. And is he really that good?
Yeah, he's a world-class athlete. I remember the Packers, one of the reasons their general manager, Ted Thompson, said that they drafted him is because of the fact that when they were at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, where all the players were getting together here and, you know, seeing what they have to offer, Janis was one of the highest-testing guys across the board of all the receivers. Now, he's a raw prospect. He came from a smaller school in college, but he has great length, and he seems like a pretty good straight line runner. Now there'll be questions of, you know, how, you know, as far as a route runner or you know what he can offer in terms of that. But there's a lot to be excited about with that young man, and I can speak for the people of Green Bay here. I haven't seen a guy come in and really captivate Wisconsin as much as Janis has. I think it's, you know, he's not from here, but he's from Michigan, right across the water, and people have just really welcomed him in and really embraced him. So I know a lot of Packer fans out there, as we get into these OTAs and get into training camp next month, they're hoping for big things out of Jeff Janis. But the Packers are too. I mean, they were very patient with him last year. He didn't do a lot during the regular season, but obviously he really flashed during training camp. So that's one of the reasons why I think when we finally see them with the pads on, with Jeff Janis having a little bit more experience under his belt and kind of, you know, putting away some of those rookie first-year jitters, I think he could be a pretty good player for them at a very deep wide receiver position.
Not even from Gerard Aberderis? I thought that he was the favorite one since he's the home guy.
No, they're definitely 1A and 1B. I mean, people love both of them. Jared is actually he's about 2 hours away from Green Bay, is where he was born. He won a state championship in high school. I believe it was their high school's only state championship in football. He came back and played at Wisconsin. And he was a walk-on player. He didn't get a scholarship right away. And the funny story about Aberderis, when he was finally going to get his college scholarship, they had to take it back because they just had gotten Russell Wilson to commit to play quarterback for the Badgers. And obviously we know what he's become now with the Seattle Seahawks as their quarterback. So it's been a long, hard road for him. And people, with him coming back off that knee injury right now, basically anytime Jared Aberderis makes a catch or makes a play in practice, you hear a small amount of applause from the crowd. I mean, people love that kid too. And that's probably going to be the difficult thing is once training camp comes around, there's only so many spots, and obviously they have a lot of receivers. So
yeah.
Packers will have some tough decisions to be made. But, yeah, Jared Aberderis is definitely in that conversation too for one of the most beloved players on that team.
Yeah, because, the roster spot are for sure going to get one. Is Nelson, two is Cobb, three is Devonta Adams. And then, of course, Ty Montgomery that he had to list as a wide receiver. And then you have Jeff Janis and Jared Aberderis. So you think they're going to keep like six wide receivers this year, or it's too early?
No, I think that's a pretty good chance that they end up doing that because, the thing about Ty Montgomery, even though we haven't seen him yet, he hasn't been at practice because he's still waiting to graduate from Stanford. He's sort of a tweener. He's kind of a wide receiver, and there's also potential for him to do some stuff in the backfield as a running back, much like Randall Cobb does. And the Packers really are looking to improve their return game. Last year, they were second to last in the league on kickoff returns. They think that Montgomery can help him there. With him being a third-round pick, the way that the Packers operate, I think that's a pretty good shoe-in for him to have a roster spot. And depending on how, Aberderis and Janis develops, if the Packers like what they see, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't keep both of those guys too. I think it was back in 2012 that they kept six receivers when they kept Jared Boykin on the roster. So I think it's definitely a possibility that they could go that deep, especially, if it really shows, those players play well throughout the course of the summer that they showed that they'd be worth those spots.
Who do you think stood out among the rookies this year so far?
I really think Quentin Rollins has, the second-round draft pick that they got out of Miami, Ohio. Just the little bit of practice, three practices now that we've been able to watch, I've been really impressed with him. He has a lot of athleticism. And, the thing that people have to remember is he played basketball for 4 years in college. It wasn't until his senior year that he finally decided that he wanted to go out for football. And he ends up being a second-round draft pick. And I know when we were doing our post-draft stories, we had a chance to talk to his coaches at Miami. And a lot of them said a lot of the things he did last year were based on just his athleticism. Once he learns how to play the cornerback position, he could be a really special football player. So he's probably the one that's flashed the most. He's made some nice plays. And again, they're not doing press coverage. They're playing off. But just his speed, his quickness, and his ability to kind of stay with receivers has what stood out to me. And really, when you see him jump, the kid has a lot of athleticism. So I'm excited to see him also. Demaryius Randall, the first-round pick, he was dealing with that ankle injury that kept him out early on. But him getting back on the field now, the Packers are taking some really long looks at both of those guys with Casey Hayward being injured right now to see if, either of those guys could be a fit on the outside of their defense or, maybe in the slot of their nickel and dime sub packages.
Do you think Hayward will start week one opposite Sam Shields?
I think so. I do. This is difficult, though, for him to be missing out on this time again. 2 years ago, he developed a hamstring injury a week before training camp, and that really hampered him throughout the course of the season. He ended up, I think, only playing three games. And once again, although this wasn't a hamstring injury, injuring his foot before the off-season program, he's a veteran now, and he's been here for a couple years. But at the same time, with him making that move to the boundary, the outside, the perimeter, I think he could have used these off-season snaps. He says it's a minor issue. His thought is that they can rest now, and he'll hopefully be ready when they come back for training camp. But that definitely leaves the door open for Micah Hyde, Randall, Rollins, even Dimitri Goodson, their draft pick from last year. to all get reps with the starting defense. So at the end of the day, I think it will be Hayward. He just has really good ball skills. He can turn over the football. But right now, this definitely, I think, hurts him not to be out there with the team during these practices.
And then there's also Sean Richardson that could play even
right.
Some linebacker.
Yes, right, yeah, and he's an exciting young player too. I mean, he was actually Casey Hayward's teammate at Vanderbilt, and I remember from the first time I talked to Casey, he said you have to watch out for Sean Richardson. He didn't play a lot of traditional safety in college. You know, the way he's built, 6'2", 218 pounds. He's not really sort of set up to be a free range center field kind of safety, but as you said, he kind of, you know, he could play that in the box defender or kind of serve as kind of a hybrid linebacker. He has a lot of potential, and the Packers obviously were very adamant about keeping him after he had signed that contract with Oakland in the offseason. The Packers came back within a week and matched it and brought him back on a one-year contract for $2.5 million. That's pretty much all guaranteed money. So they're very good about him. They also think he's becoming an elite special teams player, and obviously that's an area, too, that the Packers really have to improve on from last season.
It's difficult to be worse than last year.
It was it was a tough year.
Yeah. I think it was like 32 of the 32 teams in the special team category at the Green Bay last year. It's difficult to be worse.
No, exactly. And they made a lot of changes. Obviously, they have a new coordinator now with Ron Zook, and they've gotten rid of a lot of those players that were on those special team units last year. So for them to go out and bring back Richardson, I think probably speaks volumes as to what they think of him and how important he is if they're going to try to turn that around this upcoming season.
Well, now about Ron Zook, what do you think of him? I mean, what's the difference between Slocum last year and Zook this year in terms of approach of how he coaches his unit?
I was talking to Nate Palmer, who is a linebacker that's making a transition from outside to inside. He actually was recruited by Zook when he went to the University of Illinois, and he said he's the same guy back then as he is now. He's a very high-energy, dynamic personality. When we talk to him and interview him, he's a very boisterous, really just excited personality. And the Packers believe that that's going to help kind of turn things around for them. There is an attention to detail that I think is that they're trying to implement right now this season that maybe wasn't there last year, trying to turn things around and really correct some of the mistakes that had happened. And the way that the special teams, you know, the coaches and players have sort of explained it to us, they believe last year's struggles came down to 12 plays. That's what separated them from being an okay special teams unit to being a pretty bad one. So Zook's main task, I think, is coming in and maybe not completely turning over the unit and doing things completely different, but I think really trying to, you know, preach some of those fundamentals and really, you know, hit home on a lot of things that maybe kind of got overlooked last season. So, but when I was talking to Palmer too, he mentioned the way that he coaches and the way he acts. You know, he's basically trying to make every single minute count. And, you know, Mike McCarthy is in that room now too, with him giving up the play calling duties this season. One of his new roles is being another assistant coach in there. So, the Packers have placed that big emphasis on improving that unit, and obviously the resources that they've put into it with the draft, with the selection of a guy like Montgomery or, you know, Randall and Rollins who could play there at the beginning of their career, Jake Ryan. I think all those guys will probably be kind of the main people that are going to really determine whether or not the Packers can turn things around this year.
You like Salvatore. You like that move from McCarthy that he gave up this play calling duty and he will be a head coach.
Yeah,
supervise every sector of the team.
Yeah, if you look at how the NFL is kind of run right now, there's only a handful of NFL coaches that still call plays, just because there's so much it's so important to really have a coach that sees everything and has his hand in everything. And I think that's one of the things the Packers lacked at certain points last season. Now, you look at the loss in Seattle at the end of the year in the NFC Championship game, Mike McCarthy wouldn't go as far as to say that was one of the reasons why he made this switch, but I would have to think behind closed doors it's something that he strongly considered, just to be able to have more tabs on the entire team. And the other reason why I like it is Aaron Rodgers is a two-time MVP quarterback. He's the most valuable player in this league. He's been running in Mike McCarthy's offense for 9 years now. And I was talking to their quarterbacks coach, Alex Van Pelt, about this 2 weeks ago. He even said there's long stretches during games where Rodgers is running the offense himself already, just because they use that no-huddle kind of approach. At least they try to in most cases. So there's a lot of experience there with Rodgers. The coach that's now going to be handling play calling, Tom Clements, he's been here during McCarthy's entire coaching tenure. He oversaw the development of Rodgers. So I think they really have a good grasp on the system and what they want to accomplish. And now McCarthy can pull himself away from those duties to maybe help out on the defensive side of the ball where they've struggled at times, and on special teams where, obviously, as we just mentioned, you know, we're arguably the worst special teams unit in the league last season.
Bill Johnson was here with us last week, and he basically said that the real coordinator will be Aaron Rodgers this year, and maybe that Tom Clements will be just a scapegoat in case things don't go well. And if I recall correctly, the only time in which Aaron Rodgers officially called the plays was back in week 17, 2011 against the Lions, and Matt Flynn had that amazing game with 480 yards and 6 touchdowns. So maybe he's good calling plays.
Yeah, I was actually there for that game. That was an unbelievable performance, and it actually was the franchise record. I think it might still be the record. Rodgers just tied it now for most passing yards in a game. But yeah. Aaron Rodgers has done this for a really long time, and for him to have those experiences like that game in 2011, I think that really shows how well he's picked up this offense and how much he can manage it on his own. But also, you know, you look at Tom Clements, I think it's the last preseason game every year. McCarthy allows Tom Clements to handle the play calling too. So they've been gradually moving towards this for years, and I think the fact that McCarthy finally made the switch this year is probably just more of moving towards that and giving those guys that kind of control just based on their experience level now. And I know I was talking, I remember Bill Belichick, the New England Patriots coach, talking at the NFL owners meetings in March, and he even said there too, if Mike McCarthy, with his track record, if he's making an adjustment, it's probably best not to question him on it, because if you look at how things have gone for him so far, you know, one of the winningest coaches in the league right now, if he feels like that's what he needed to do to make the team better, chances are that that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, another thing that should make the team better is starting faster. And Mike McCarthy talked about this yesterday. He didn't say what they will do differently in order to avoid another 1-2 start. But in your opinion, what's going to change in terms of approach to the games, to conditioning? What's going to change?
Yeah, that's a great question, because that's something I think we've all wondered, because the Packers, that's been something that they've emphasized a lot this offseason. I know I was talking to fullback John Kuhn on Wednesday, and he even said the same thing, that since they got back for the offseason program in April, this has been an emphasis in everything they do, on the field, in the weight room, you know, how they eat even now. I mean, the Packers are really buying in 100% into this new strength and conditioning, sabermetrics, whatever you want to call it, type of conditioning a football team. And you look at just the injuries last year, they were very fortunate once again. I should say, you know, fortunate for the first time, really, after having so many years where they dealt with so many heavy injuries. So Yeah, how are they going to start faster this year? I'll be interested to see exactly, you know, what they do. Personally, I think a part of their slow starts the last few years is just having some really good competition. But at the same time, you look at, you know, right now how they're bringing along the football team. They're trying to build them up right now to a point that they can get into the preseason and get into training camp, kind of moving forward rather than taking a step back. I wonder if that means that once training camp comes around, if we're going to be seeing, you know, some of the veteran players maybe playing later into the camp, maybe later into preseason games to try keeping guys, you know, in a rhythm. But right now, you know, Mike McCarthy, the way that he's laid it out is that every single thing they do is for a reason. And the way that they feel right now, they think that's what's going to be a big catalyst for them starting hot at the start of the season, as opposed to really finding their stride midway through it.
Is it true that BJ Raji did yoga during this, this off-season?
Yeah, that was a fun story that I was able to do. I was talking with him about that. I think it was two or three. It was maybe the first OTAs. Because the thing that really I found to be most interesting was Raji felt that his injury, that torn right biceps muscle, he didn't look at it as just a freak injury, just something that just happened spontaneously. He thought a lot of it had to do with the fact that he's put a lot of wear and tear on his body in his first six NFL seasons, and basically that caught up with him. So one of the things he did as soon as he was cleared to start training again after his surgery was he went back to this yoga studio that's about, I'd say, 15 minutes from Green Bay, and he put in a lot of time. I remember talking to his yoga instructor, and she even said that, you know, 5 days a week he was there trying to increase his flexibility, trying to really do things to not only prevent injuries but also help heal his body. Talking to a lot of guys in the locker room, this is the direction they're going, because when you have such a hard-hitting competition as, you know, professional football is, you have to do certain things to get your body back and fully recover. And it's particularly on the defensive line where you're getting into a collision play after play after play. So Raji feels like the things that he's done this offseason are going to get him back to that 2010 form when he had the 6.5 sacks, and it looked like he was on the verge of becoming a really big playmaker in this defense. And really getting back to where, you know, he's, you know, that first round type talent that the Packers, you know, had for a couple seasons. So 2013 were not great years for him, but if he can come back and get himself, you know, kind of into that rhythm once again, I don't see any reason why he can't be at that level again. Maybe not as many sacks, but in terms of just his productivity and really being able to make a difference in that defense.
Do you?
Yeah, it would be great.
Do you have a video of Raji doing yoga?
I don't. How bad is that? It should go.
It would be viral, I think. Probably more than the dance he did after the TD in Chicago in the championship game, probably.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I'll say this. If obviously we got a ways to go yet, but if he ends up playing pretty well at the start of the season, maybe I'll see if I can follow him around and see what his routine's like. But yeah, right now at this point in time, I don't have a video.
Oh, okay. Too bad.
Another thing that I find interesting is the battle for the third running back spot in the depth chart. Do we have any news on the guys battling for it? I mean, I really liked John Crockett's story coming into the draft and then in Green Bay.
Yeah, if you look at the college free agents and the undrafted free agents who have made it in Green Bay, a lot of them are guys who were going to go to bigger colleges, and for whatever reason, whether it was academics or, you know, just leaving the school or, you know, being thrown out, whatever it is, they end up at lower tier colleges. And John Crockett is one of those guys. He was actually going to go to Michigan State originally. I believe it was an academic reason he couldn't go, so he ends up going to North Dakota State. So. And had a really incredibly productive career there. I mean, three consecutive 1,000-yard seasons rushing, and he didn't actually start until his senior year. He's probably, you know, you look at positions on a roster where is the most opportunity, And I think it's certainly at that running back spot. With them not bringing back DeJuan Harris this year, with Rajon Neal coming back, he looked really good early in the preseason last year before he had his knee injury. Now you got Crockett involved. Alonzo Harris is a big back, much like Eddie Lacy. And I think all those guys are going to make for a really interesting competition. But, yeah, getting back to Crockett, he seems to have exactly what you look for in a running back. He is a tenacious rusher, and that's one of the reasons he got that nickname Taz, or, you know, for being a Tasmanian devil. He doesn't quit. He always fights for the extra yard. Now, again, during organized team activities practices, they're not tackling. We're not seeing these guys really, you know, bumping shoulders yet. But just seeing him a little bit on the field, you can kind of get a feel for the sort of player he is. And talking to him a little bit in the locker room, he's a very outgoing guy. He's a, you know, kind of has a very big personality. So I think it's going to be really interesting to follow his development through this summer. But that number three running back job, it's been important for the Packers the last few years. And, you know, with Eddie Lacy, James Starks there, Starks is going into last year, his contract, it's a position that's still very deep. But at the same time, you got to constantly be trying to find those guys and get that next diamond in the rough that can make an impact for your offense.
Who's in danger of losing his spot on the roster, in your opinion?
Which one? I'm sorry?
Who is in danger of losing his spot?
That's
the established guys, I mean.
Sure. No, yeah, that's a good question. In terms of, do you mean just as a starter or probably just off the roster?
Off the roster.
Off the roster.
Is it all?
You know, I think this is going to be a big year for John Kuhn at fullback.
Yes.
You know, he's been here and he's been such a big part of this offense and this team, really. For almost 10 years now, but he'll be 33 going into September. The Packers brought him back on a very team-friendly contract. You know, he's making the league minimum. He has another $50,000 in bonuses that he could make, but he's not a big commitment. The Packers can release him and not owe him a lot. So I think that's going to be an interesting battle to see if he can really hold off the hands of time one more season and beat out Aaron Ripkowski. You know, for so many years, it looked like the Packers maybe were just going to try to get rid of that position entirely, and then Ted Thompson kind of surprised me, at least, and, you know, drafts Ripkowski in the sixth round, a kid out of Oklahoma that said he looked up to John Kuhn growing up. So that's probably one of the position battles I think is going to be very interesting to track this summer. But, yeah, for all the years he put in and all the time he's been here, you do wonder how much more time John Kuhn has left, especially – considering the Packers really have only kept one player at that spot the last few years.
We were actually very happy when we heard the Packers drafted Ripkowski, because we talked about him before the draft.
Oh, did you?
Once we heard about his visit to Green Bay, I looked up at his profile and his career, and I said, well, this could actually be a new John Kuhn.
Yeah.
And there we were... very happy when we heard it was coming.
We're proud.
Yeah, you guys called it. But yeah, I mean, 250 pounds. I think he's 6'1". He's a little bit taller than Kuhn, but I mean, yeah, he's looked very impressive as far as physically, what I've seen so far. And you know, with Kuhn going to that NFL broadcasting boot camp last week, Ripkowski was able to take all those first team reps. So. He, again, for him coming in and trying to make an impact, it'll be interesting to see if, you know, what exactly he can bring to the table.
So coming to mini camp next week, how will the practices be? Just like the one you've seen yesterday, or are things going to change a little bit?
Yeah, it sounds like, again, when you guys tying back into that answer or that question you asked a little while ago about, you know, the Packers trying to get off to a faster start this year, McCarthy mentioned this plays into it. Now, on the field, I don't know if it's going to look that much different to, you know, just the naked eye. But, you know, doing behind the scenes in the meeting room, McCarthy even mentioned, you know, the way that they're going to set up practices. It's going to be about challenging these guys and seeing what these guys have to offer after, you know, this entire offseason program and really getting a feel for what they have in these players as they kind of ready and come back for training camp. So, yeah, I don't know if it's going to look that much different, but I think you'll probably see some more team periods. I think you'll probably see some more competitive drills And yeah, just seeing if any of those guys can stand out and really maybe make a name for themselves here before we go into that little summer break.
Also because every year there seems to be at least one or two undrafted guys that end up making the team against all odds.
Yes, and I mean, you look at, I did that story, I want to say it was a couple months ago, where, I mean, every year that Mike McCarthy's been here, there's been at least one undrafted player that's made the roster. The last few years, I think it's been like the last 4 years, maybe it's like 13 or something like that. And, you know, you have the Don Barclays of the world and the guys on the offensive line and defensive line that are just gritty and kind of do that work. But you look at the players that, you know, at more of the highlighted positions like outside linebacker and, you know, receiver, this is where they start to get noticed, particularly at receiver. When you start making those big-time catches, you look at a guy like Mitchell Henry, the undrafted tight end from Western Kentucky. They had the two-minute drill with Scott Tolzien in the second-team offense on Wednesday. And he ends up making just a phenomenal catch, jumping catch over two defenders to get the touchdown as, you know, time runs out in the two-minute period. So those are the little plays that, as you start to add those up, that's how you get noticed. And as you said, right now, this is where that begins, and being able to show that you have something that this team can take and really win with.
Since you've been there all the time, and you have seen the practice, okay, Rodgers look under 100% right now. We have to be worried about his condition.
Yeah, you know, to some extent, I do worry. You know, he's 31 now, and you wonder, just as a player gets older, I mean, in any sport, it's not just football, how their body's going to hold up and maintain. Brett Favre, who's going to be coming back here next month for his retirement ceremony, he did it better than anybody, but not everybody's Brett Favre. So I think a lot of the things that Aaron Rodgers is doing in the offseason, he's another guy who turns to yoga, the training schedule and regimen that he puts himself through to get himself in tip-top condition. I know when he was talking to us, he mentioned, you know, getting back in shape, the shape that he wants to be in to play at a high level. It's not as easy as when he was 26, but at the same time, he still feels like he can maintain this for another 7-8 years. So in practice right now, he's looked great. The calf injury, outside of maybe it physically looking a little bit different, all the things that matter inside, he's fine, and he's been running around again. Looks like he's having fun. It took quite a bit of the off season for that thing to get back to 100%, but so far from what we've seen, he doesn't look like that. It doesn't look like that's something that's bothering him at all.
Hopefully this year, I like to see him to get rid of all the football earlier or faster, and don't try to keep the place alive so long, as he did in Tampa Bay when he got injured, and because I was throw away the football because, oh my God, he got the hit, and you know how it ends.
Yeah, it is pretty funny when you think about it, because the Packers went from having a guy like Brett Favre who, no matter what, is going to get that ball out, and sometimes it's going to be a touchdown, sometimes it'll be an interception. And then you have a guy like Rodgers, I should say, who is going to do anything he can not to turn the football over. And if that means holding on to the ball a little bit too late sometimes, that's just how it is. So it's kind of funny how it's worked out that way. But again, both of them will probably end up being Pro Football Hall of Famers in their own right.
Well, actually, holding on to the ball for too long has been his major issue, for at least according to me, because most of the times he ends up with a fumble. I mean, he had a lot of them last year, too.
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, and maybe you guys would know this better than I, but I think did he have the most of his career last year for fumbles? I'm trying to remember.
I think
maybe not fumbles lost, but as far as just fumbles, I think it was up
even,
there.
I think there were 12, 13, something like that. Can it be true?
Yeah, so that is one thing to keep in mind, because, you know, if you don't throw interceptions, obviously that your pass rating is going to look really good. But you can look at Chicago Bears quarterback Jay Cutler. He had the best pass rating of his career last year, but had a lot of bad turnovers and a lot of bad fumbles that resulted in plays. So I think, yeah, if there's one area you could talk about Rodgers, maybe he should take a few more chances. But at the same time, it's you sometimes wonder if that's just his game, much like how Brett Favre played. There's certain aspects of it you can't change. But, yeah, certainly as the years go on, Rodgers is probably going to have to get that thing out a little bit faster, just because he's not going to have that same mobility he had in the prime of his career.
Yeah, I'm not calling for him to change his style of play, but I think like game against Tampa Bay, that of course you know you're gonna win in a way or the other.
Right.
Yeah. Try to don't risk too much if you can't risk too much in an NFL regular season game. Okay. But you are a better team than the Tampa Bay, so try to don't take too many risks, okay? Because you can jeopardize the season in a bit. So
yeah, particularly in a game like that against Tampa Bay, where your defense has almost a franchise history kind of day as far as how much they contain them. I definitely see your point.
One last thing, I'd like to ask you, what do you think about Matt Flynn in New England?
Yeah, you guys, did he end up signing or is he just working out there? He did end up signing, okay, because I was actually on my phone for a little bit. That's an interesting move, but I will say I remember seeing some reports out here, not necessarily that he was going there, but a lot of people connecting the dots as soon as Tom Brady had his suspension. That they would maybe look at a veteran quarterback like Flynn, and give him a look. I don't want to say I wasn't a Matt Flynn fan, but I personally, if it was me, I thought Scott Tolzien played better than him last year in the preseason and in training camp.
Yep.
I understand the Packers probably had a familiarity there, and Flynn had such a great command of the offense, and especially what he did in 2013. You can't say enough about that. He helped keep them alive for when Rodgers got back. But I also thought he had some big limitations with his arm. And there were certain points last year I just didn't think he looked really that good. So you wish him well. We'll see what happens in New England. But for the Packers' sake, I thought they went the right direction. I think Scott Tolzien, just watching him in practice right now, there seems to be a little bit more zip on his passes. I know I was talking to the coaching staff. They really have changed his mechanics and how he throws the football and his footwork. I think Scott Tolzien looks really good right now. And drafting Brett Hundley, I do believe that again, is going to be a much improved quarterback room going into this upcoming season. But it will be very interesting for Flynn as he looks to continue on his own NFL career, if he could potentially latch on there and maybe help bring along the, I think it's what, Jimmy Garoppolo, that's their backup right now.
Yep. Okay, Matt.
Yeah,
want to ask you something?
Yeah, just something that not so technical football. And you said that you are born and raised in Green Bay, and of course we have an idea what happened from August to December, and hopefully in January and early February what happened in Green Bay. But how is the city of Green Bay from February to July, when it's not football season? How is being there?
It's they aren't playing games on the field, but I'll tell you what, it always is football season in Green Bay. People live and breathe the Green Bay Packers here. It obviously, as you guys well know, it's the smallest team in the NFL. It's a hometown team. They're almost 100 years old now. People raise their kids on the Green Bay Packers, and me growing up here, I was actually never that big of a Packer fan. I was more of always kind of a baseball and soccer guy. But one thing I always kind of remembered is whenever I would drive down, Lombardi Avenue, driving past Lambeau Field, you kind of take that for granted in terms of, it just being there if you're from here. And you don't really fully understand, what that means and what that represents. That's an organization that really has had to fight, for so many years, even up until, Ron Wolf and Brett Favre and Reggie White got here in the early 90s, they were fighting for survival. And for them to be at this point they are now and continually every year being in the Super Bowl chase, these are great times right now for people that are from Green Bay and, Packer fans, worldwide. But yeah, I mean, people, there's people that name their kids after Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. I mean, it's just the way things are here. I mean, it's a small city and people really wrap themselves around this. It's the reason why they've been sold out for 60 years and why their season ticket waiting list goes on for a lifetime. So, yeah, it's quite the thing to be a part of, and for it to be such a small area, it's quite amazing as a journalist just how much interest there is in your content and how much people really genuinely enjoy, you know, discussing the team and where they're headed.
Do you have members of the family with season tickets?
I do not directly. My grandfather had them up until, I think it was 1955. He gave up his season tickets when they were going through a really rough time before Vince Lombardi got there. But that's the closest I am. I live in Brown County where Lambeau Field is. So we're involved in a drawing every year to get tickets. My parents are, and actually just out of total happenstance, this year they got the Brett Favre retirement game against the Chicago Bears on Thanksgiving here. So, I'm sure they'll be enjoying that.
Yeah.
Okay, Wes, go on, Matt.
No, go.
I was saying that if we don't have anything to ask, we can free you from yourself.
Yeah, we thank you so much, and hopefully we can have you back. Wow.
Yeah, you guys, yeah, obviously you got my contact information. I really appreciate you having me on. I think this is the first international interview I've ever done, so hopefully I wasn't
we
bad.
We hope too. Are you kidding me? No, you know, this is like a fun thing because it's not professional because, okay, we started like a couple of months ago with Salvatore, okay, and it was funny because we just know each other for like 6 months, I think, Salvatore, not yep. that much, okay, and we start talking about football, okay, because, you know, football here is really not so popular. It here in Italy is just soccer, and soccer, okay?
Right.
And also a little bit of soccer.
Yeah, and yeah, probably a little more of soccer. And so we start like, and we were talking like 20, 30 minutes on the phone, and we start like, and it actually was a Salvatore idea. Why don't we do a podcast? Just talk about that, and we put, upload on internet. Hopefully there is like a couple of guys who are going to listen to us. Let's see what happened. And in the last couple of weeks, we talked with you, Bill Johnson, Brian Carvel, so it's fun.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, it's fun. It's
yeah,
fun.
I appreciate you guys making me a part of it.
we are really, it was a really big honor talking to you, really.
We hope to have you back maybe when training camp starts or before the season, who knows.
Yeah, sounds good. I'd be happy to join you.
Okay,
thank you very much, Wes, once again. We'll continue to read your stuff on Packers News and the Press Gazette. Thank you once again.
Thanks, guys.
Ciao, Matt.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Take New York Bozo! New York Bozo!